Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. First two verses. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for the opportunity to preach it one more time. We ask you, Lord, if there's someone here that is lost, that you would touch their hearts and that they would surrender, repent, be saved. We ask you for every child of God that, Lord, you would remind us of the fundamentals of our faith. That you would touch our hearts, that we'd live more for you than we have before. I pray, dear God, you'd give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask you to touch hearts and lives that are here. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm an old school teacher, and I'm an old preacher, and I'm an old father and grandfather. And I don't know how many times I've told somebody, I said, don't you know? Don't you know any better than that? I know you know better than that. You know better than that. I don't know how many times I've talked about, you knew better than that. You knew better than to do what you did. I mean, you've been taught better. You know, we have a fairly quiet congregation in here. You know why? Because we jump on everybody that talks and messes around. Some of you here were Sunday night here a few weeks ago, and some people come from a good fundamental church, about six young people, sat right over here, and they just giggled and talked and passed notes and really embarrassed their pastor if he knew anything about it. Embarrassed me. I figured if they ever come again, I'm going to walk over before the meeting and just stand in front of them and tell them I expect better behavior than six-year-olds. In fact, our six-year-olds behave better than that. You know why? They know better. Now, how did they know better? They were taught. They were taught by discipline. They were taught by rebuke. They were taught by reasoning. They were taught by doctrine. That's how they knew. And so Paul is saying here something, don't you know? You know, sometimes I question the intelligence of people who really go against fundamental truth. Something so plain, so simple, so clear, and they just go on like they're absolutely blind, like they never heard a word, like nobody had ever taught them, they'd never seen anybody suffer. Well, I want to talk to you about a few things in the Bible, mainly Romans and Corinthians, where Paul uses this phrase, know ye not. Know ye not. Now the first thing he's talking about here is, I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Don't you know that? You going to go against the law of God? You think you're going to win? You are downright stupid. Amen. Nobody wins going against God's law. Right. You might actually drive through San Antonio and go through two red lights without a ticket. But you can't get by with it with God. How about the law? What about the law? Some people think, oh, we live in the Christian generation. We live in this age of America. We've got modern laws. We've improved in so many ways. We don't need the law of God. We're beyond the law of God. We're finished with the law of God. No, you're not. You know what that said right there? Don't you know? Know you not? The law has dominion over you as long as you live. The law has dominion over you as long as you live. You may decide you can break the law, and in the society or culture where you may be living, you may seem to get away with it, but you don't get away with it with God. I remember Eddie thought he got away with it in high school. Caught Billy a couple of times. But Eddie, he went to a lawyer and paid. He was working. He paid and got a lawyer to take care of his ticket. He's still in my house and he's joining the army. And the recruiter comes out to the house. Here I got this 18-year-old. He's grown. He's going to go in the Army, and he's leaving home, and he's feeling good, you know. And the recruiter says, "You know, the only problem with your son is we have two tickets." I said, "What? What do you mean two tickets?" "Yeah, we've got two tickets." I took his car away from him then. "Yeah, I'm going to let you get away with it." You know what God did? God just laid it open for me. Don't you know you can't get away with sin?
That's right.
Sin's going to bite you. You think you're so smart or you're so lucky, or it doesn't matter. You've been preaching a long time as I have. You've heard an awful lot of people come to you complaining because of the results of their sin.
That's right.
What am I going to say? How can I help you? How can I remove what you've done? I can't do it. Well, I can pray for you. I can pray for mercy. But God's law is still active in this whole world. And you may think you're not under it because you're an American or you're free or you're this or you're that or you're something else. But my friend, he said, the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. And if while you're alive, the laws of God are in effect. I don't care what your government says. They may disavow God's laws. The Supreme Court may overrule God's laws. But God's laws are still in effect as long as a man lives. That's what it says right there. Don't you know that? I would think fundamental Christians who've been raised on the Bible ought to know that. Well, there's another little thing. Look just back a chapter. Chapter 6 and verse 3. He's writing to people who know the law, and he says, "Know ye not?" Look at it, verse 3. "Know ye not? Don't you know? That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Do you understand baptism? I would think most of you understand baptism. Baptism never saved anybody.
Right.
Baptism doesn't save.
Right.
Baptism is a picture of what has already been done for you in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Maybe you're here and 5 years ago you repented of your sins and took Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit went into your heart. You got saved. You know what happened in heaven? You know what happened in the courts of heaven? You know what happened in the record of history of the Christian church? They took you and by the Spirit of God placed you back into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You died. You were buried. And you've been risen again.
Amen.
When you're baptized in water, you're giving an open confession. I belong to Jesus Christ. He died in my place. I died in Him. I'm dead. You want to know how you get out of the law? You want to know how you come to the place you're free from the condemnation of that law? You got to get saved.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
And getting saved makes you dead. And baptism is a picture of your death. Don't you know the simple truth? That what makes you dead to the law is the repentance of your sin, the acceptance of Jesus Christ, and your actual death in Him.
Amen.
It's an accomplished fact. He died in your place. You live in His place. Oh, that's beautiful.
Amen.
Now look, if you will, in chapter 6 again. In verse 16. "Know ye not?" Man, it's in here a lot of times. "Know ye not?" I'm talking to Christians that are acting stupid. I'm talking to people who ought to know better. I'm talking to people who know the law, who have some common sense. "Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are?"
Yeah.
"Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Sometimes the questions of what is the will of God are, how close can I get to the line without falling over into sin? If you're born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you ought to ask me, how close can I get to righteousness?
That's right. Amen.
Not how close can I get to sin without falling in. How far can I go before God kills me? I've actually had that asked me. How far can I go in what I'm doing? I know it's out of the will of God. How far can I go till God just smushes me like a roach? How far do I go? Oh, we got a God is love. Oh, we have God is mercy. Oh, God won't punish you. You're crazy. God is a good father. I do not consider you a good father if there is no punishment and no fear of your children in your life. Daddies, that's one of the reasons why you're here. And by the way, that's one reason why he made you 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall, and your little baby 2 foot tall. So that by sheer force, he ought to obey you. You say, well, I don't treat my children. When someone says, we don't train our children, well, that's why they are the way they are. Because you don't train your children. They need to be trained. Everybody gets trained. I got trained by the policeman stopping me and giving me tickets. They trained me very well. And they've trained you too. Oh yeah, you just out of the goodness of your heart would never go a mile over the speed limit, would you? No, it's that policeman with the ticket. We were driving on the way to Del Rio, and we're in the middle of a fine road, you know. I mean, the thing is fine. This guy is not even going the speed limit. He brakes. I thought, oh man, there's got to be a wreck up here. There's got to be a deer in the road, a cow in the road. No, there was a policeman stopped on the right side. All it was a simple policeman he didn't even have his lights on. I don't think he was checking radar. He's just sitting there probably drinking a cup of coffee and his donut. But that authority figure, that thought I might get a ticket, that thought he might stop me, that thought I might wave a red flag in front of him. You know what it says right here? To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. Have you ever thought about who you're obeying? I know you think you're free. I'm free in America. I never was a slave. I don't belong to anybody, anything. I think you think you're free. Whoever you're obeying right now, that's whose servant you are. Now, you may think you're just obeying you, but that's not the truth. You're obeying sin or you're obeying righteousness. Ain't no middle ground. Not any middle ground out there. You're either obeying the lust of your flesh, or the desires of your heart that lead you to sin and following the devil, glorifying the devil, helping the devil. Oh yeah, there is a devil. You may have been educated out of the devil, but my Bible says there's a devil. And let me tell you something, my friend. He doesn't like anything about God. What about you? Whose servant are you today? Well, you're somebody's servant. You're serving somebody. Somebody's got your mind. Somebody has captured your thoughts. You know that's all it takes? You know how easy it is? I was thinking about the test they're running out here at the research center. On the wing of that shuttle, they're blowing foam at 500 miles an hour up against the edge of that wing. And they're testing how small a crack or how big a crack, how much damage can be done by foam hitting it at 500 miles an hour. And you know what they've already found out? There's cracks in the edge of that thing. Well, what does it take? Will a blowtorch go right through metal, even inches of metal? Yes, a blowtorch will. You get that much heat and give it a space where it can go in and just takes care of everything. You know all the devil needs? He just needs a little crack in your thinking. All he needs is to tempt you with something that seems so special to you, so important to you. And you're so foolish in obeying him, you'll throw away a whole lot of things that are really, really valuable because you got a little crack in your armor. You got a little crack in your shield. You let a little open door come in your thinking. And that's the base root of all your sin, your thinking. We may not have heard you speak it with your mouth. We may not have seen you do it in your life. But you already got your mind set a wrong direction. And that wrong direction is going to open up the door for a great big blowtorch to maybe blow your wing off and blow your life away too. Something you ought to know, I expect you to know it. I would think that every Christian here ought to know it. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are. Whether of sin or of righteousness. And bless your heart, that's your thinking right now. What are you thinking? You got any problems with the way you're thinking? Well, I bet you do. I bet you're thinking some things you know are contrary to God's will. You're thinking them though. You're thinking, I could get away with it. You know, other people have got away with it. You think? Sure looks like it, doesn't it? Looks like the world can just walk along. Well, bless your heart, they haven't got judged yet. That's right. There are some people around you that can do things you can't do and get away with it. Oh, you can do it. But you can't get away with it because you belong to God. Now, do you belong to God? Are you His child? Are you sure you're really saved? Then I would be really, really very careful if I knew I belonged to God. If I knew I was saved and I had my thinking headed out to disobey what God said is His will for you to obey. Another little phrase, we'll go over to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not? You're the temple of God. This building's not the temple of God. We call it a church. It's actually a church building. You're the church. We're the church. You know where God dwells? He doesn't just dwell in this building. He doesn't dwell in this building at all. He dwells in our hearts.
That's right.
You are the temple of God. Now I know some of you think you can get away with things. I remember as a kid, I thought I'd get away. And I did. I got away with a lot of things. I thought. Do you know, I am the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me.
Yeah.
How do I get away from Him? That's God. The Spirit of God is not some ethereal thing, not some ghost, so to speak. It's God Himself living in the heart of His born-again believers. You have never had a thought that He didn't think it with you.
That's right. Amen.
Not just what you said, not just what came out of your mouth, not just what you did and where your feet took you. While you're lusting in your mind, while you're rebelling in your mind, while you're deciding to go your own way in your own mind, God's there suffering it. I've had a few times I had to suffer with some of my kids. Suffer with their ignorance. Suffer with their rebellion. Suffer with their tantrum. Suffer with training them. Suffer with bringing them back into good thinking. That's hard. Some of you parents are going through it right now. Man, I'm glad all mine are grown. Sometimes a person gets something in their head and they're going to go that direction and you just can't put the good reasoning in them. I remember my daddy when I was 17 years old. And I'm standing up to my dad in an argument. He said, oh, I wish I could put a 40-year-old head on that 17-year-old body. It's impossible. Look back at your stupidity. Look back at the way you live. Look back at the way you thought.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. In about 3 years after that, maybe four, my daddy got a whole lot smarter. I think he got a PhD in psychology. He was so much smarter. You know what happened? I got saved. I started reading this Bible and I realized that old man's got more smarts than I ever thought I had. And you know, I began to think like him. Some of the reasons I think the way I think are my dad. My dad hitting me with his reasoning. I would have rather taken a beating any day of the week than my dad to talk for me for 30 minutes. He just made me feel like such an idiot. You go out and you spend all your money. You've had a big time. Oh, you've partied. Oh, you've gone with the girls. Oh, you've had a high life. He'd say, what you got to show for it? Show me. You spent $50. What? You got anything for it? You don't even have a handkerchief come out of this thing. That doesn't look very smart to me. You spend all this money, you got nothing left. All of it's just wasted. You begin to think like that. Yeah, what am I going to get out of this? Why don't you think a little of that? What am I going to get out of this? Every cause has a reason. There was something happened. This cause brought a result. Things don't just happen in the world just by chance, my friend. They happen by the choices that we make. They happen by the way we think. They happen by who we're serving. And you know what I've learned? And I think you ought to know it too. Don't you know? I am the temple of God. When I'm angry and selfish and rebellious, God is having to put up with me. Because He's never going to leave me. He dwells inside of me. All that wisdom, all that power, all that love, all of what God is inside of me. He's inside of you today. You never made a phone call. He didn't listen to the whole thing. You never dreamed a dream. He wasn't there with you when you dreamed a dream. And you never set a rebellious course against God without Him sitting there trying to resist you in your mind by the Word of God you know, by the conscience that's been trained, by what you already know, maybe by the counsel of a friend or a father or a mother. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Anything that ought to make you slow down on the highway better than a policeman sitting on the side of the road is that the Spirit of God hears every conversation you have. If you said some of the things you think, you'd offend your husband or your wife, wouldn't you? Some of you young people, if you said what you think, you'd offend your friends. In fact, if some of you let everybody know what you think, you wouldn't have any friends. Do you realize what God has to put up with you every day? Especially if you are a rebellious, stubborn, stupid believer. I made that really too mild. I'm getting soft in my old age. That's the truth. Did you know that some of your thoughts are really offensive to God? They'd be offensive to the people around you. They'd be offensive to your children. They'd be offensive to your parents. They would be offensive to your husband or your wife. They would be offensive to your friends. And yet you're sitting there offending God over and over. And you know, that's a dangerous thing. You see, you're not offending somebody who can't hurt you. Oh yeah, if you're a big bully, you can walk around and pick on some kid weighs 100 pounds less than you and couldn't whip you in a fight no matter if he had a gun. You can push him around, pick on him, give insults to him, and feel like you can get away with it. You know who you're messing with? You're messing with God. God just thinks it and you quit thinking. God speaks the word. You don't breathe another breath. You think, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this and I'm going to have this and I've been denied this and I want that. If God wills. If God wills, you'll get to that city. If God wills, you'll make that business. If God wills, you'll buy that Cadillac. If God wills, you'll live that life. But if you've been offending God for so long and stubborn, you know, my dad was not a man quick to anger. My mother, she was quick to anger. I mean, those black eyes would snap at you. Boom. And you know, I crossed the line. Now, my dad, he was more of a reasonable man. But you didn't really want to make him mad. Because when he got mad, then it was a different story. You know what it says about God? He's slow to anger. Amen. Plenteous in mercy. Amen. But once you raise the anger of God, do you remember when He's finally really mad at Jerusalem? He said, if Noah and Job and Daniel were in there, they'd only deliver themselves. You could have some of the best praying men that you know in the city, pleading for the city. It won't change my mind. You've gone too far. Can a Christian go too far? Oh, yes. The Bible speaks of it around the Lord's Supper. It says, why, some of you are dead. You sleep. Christians sleeping. That's a Christian's death. Why? Because you disobeyed me, dishonored me at the Lord's table. You're messing with God. You are the temple of God and you're messing with God. That is a dangerous thing to do.
Amen.
When is God merciful? All the time? No, He's got a wrath. He's got an anger. He said He's angry to the wicked every day. He says, sin will not go unpunished. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What have you been sowing in your mind? What have you been sowing in your actions? That's what you're going to reap. You say, but I'm a Christian, see. I've got that Teflon covering. Oh, you don't understand. Don't you know? Don't you know the God we serve? You ought to read your Bible a little more. You ought to find out what kind of character God has. You're going to step one day and in your stubbornness and stupidity, you're going to take one step too far and God's going to smash you. He's going to break both your legs, keep you from walking too far. He's going to lay you up in a hospital bed. Oh, maybe He might put one of your kids there. You say, will God do that? Yes, He will. He'll do it. You see, some of the things that are so important to you, they don't mean anything in eternity. They don't mean a thing in eternity. What kind of house you have? What kind of clothes you're wearing right now? Maybe even your physical health. Nothing to do with eternity. If God had to break your physical health to break your spirit, which is more valuable to God? God wants your heart. And God sees your heart 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Look over here, just another chapter. Chapter 6. Verse 15. Know ye not? Your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two saith he shall be one flesh? I realize we live in modern America and adultery is the sin of choice of our generation. But it isn't for God. God's not pleased with it, and God won't let you get away with it. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You don't really have a right to do just what you want to do.
That's right.
You belong to God. You don't have a right to it yourself because God bought you with His blood on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
There He paid the debt. He owns you. Your mind, your life, your hopes, your future, everything you got belongs to God. And every day that you go ahead holding on to it for yourself, denying it to God, leaning towards sin, wallowing in sin, sucking it up like water of a thirsty man, you're denying God what He bought you for. Dangerous thing. You're bought with a price. What's the conclusion? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You were saved to bring glory to God Almighty, and you don't have a right to trample Him in the dust. You were saved to bring honor to Jesus Christ, and you don't really have a right to trash His name in front of this whole world. There are lost people that know you, lost people that see you. They see your stubborn, rebellious attitude, and they say, if that's all Christianity is, I don't need any part of it. My daddy was worried about me, so he took me to a bigger church so I'd have some Christian young people to run around with. At about that 17 years old when he was worrying about me. Well, I ran with them. I did my best. They were about as stupid and sinful as the bunch I was running around with at school. And it wasn't long. I said, they haven't got anything I don't have. Why should I waste my time with this bunch of wimps? Is there anybody looking at you and seeing your Christianity and deciding God's not worth serving? You've been bought with a price. You don't have a right. And I'm going to give you fair warning. God is a very good Father. He will not let you continue to get away with it.
That's right.
As I said, my daddy was a mild man, a reasoning man, very strong man, but a very reasonable man. And he kept thinking, you know, if I can just keep talking to him, I'll finally get through to him. God's a very reasonable God. He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Let me tell you how you handle God. You repent. You repent. You think God's going to be merciful on you while you are in your sin? No, He's not. How do you have a chance with God? Recognize what you're doing wrong, repent of it, and go grab Him by the legs. Go fall down on your face and grab God by His feet and say, oh God, forgive me. Ah, then you'll find the God of love. Then you'll find the merciful God. Then you'll find salvation. Then you'll find forgiveness. Do you believe this whole world? I know some Christians. They believe the whole world is just all going to be saved in the end. You haven't read your Bible very much, have you? Or you may not like the doctrine. I don't like the doctrine. I wish everybody was going to get saved in the end too. And God was going to change everybody and it was just all going to turn out peaches and rosy and creamy and everything like that. And then I wouldn't even have to go preaching. It's not going to happen. You know how people get saved? They hear the gospel and repent. You know how people escape from their sin? They hear the gospel and they repent. Repentance is a part of life. If you're still living unrepentant, you're out of the will of God. Great preacher named Finney. He said God broke him about every 3 days. He said, if I'm broken over my sin, then I can preach with power. If I'm not broken over my sin, I can't preach with power. You know what's wrong with the church today? She's not repentant. We got Christian after Christian doing anything the world does and just wiping their mouth and say, it's all right, I serve a God of love.
Wow.
That's dangerous.
Amen.
You're going to find it out. Believe me. Chickens always come home to roost. I know you don't believe that. You believe they only come to other people's houses. They're going to come visit you.
Right.
What you sow, you reap. God's not mocked. Is that God saying that? Have you come to the place you don't believe the Bible anymore? Don't you know, He says, know you not? Are you so foolish that you can understand the principles of God's Word, the foundations of the doctrine of God, and you can go ahead and get away with it? Never happened. Never happened. When my kids have gotten themselves in trouble and they've been punished or they've been hurt, Oh, I hurt with them. My kids can't hurt without me hurting with them. It's nice to get them out of the house. I'm glad they're gone. But you know what? Gone or not, they still hurt me. Is that right, Grandma? Your big old 60-year-old boy starts hurting with a heart attack. What do? You're crying and praying. Your 17-year-old girl's out on a date with a pretty rough-looking boy. You're praying. I was. God loves you. That's why He gives you so many opportunities to repent. That's why He waits on you. That's why He sends messenger after me. That's why He sends rebuke. That's why sometimes He gives you a hard face. He wants you to repent. He doesn't want you to go on and suffer the consequences of your stupidity. Your consequences of your unbelief. Your consequences of rejecting the truth of God as you know it. And you don't know it. One more verse. Look, if you will, at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, you know that God's law is in effect over the whole world. And the only way to bypass the result of that law is by repentance and being born again by being dead in Christ. You know that who you obey, His servants you become. And you know that God Almighty dwells inside of you and is offended by your stubbornness, rebellion, and stupidity. And God in His mercy sends preachers. I magnify my office. Brother Ron, he patches some people up when they get messed up. He's a doctor. I respect doctors. But everybody he works on dies eventually. The few of them I work on are going to live forever. I magnify my office. You better pay attention to the preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
You better pay attention to the Word of God. You know one thing that really gets me upset about young people talking and playing around and giggling and doing whatever? They're disrespectful to the Word of God.
That's right.
You know these things. Seeing, you know these things. He said, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Maybe some of you, you're walking pretty good today. You haven't got yourself in real trouble. You're just thinking wrong. You're just deciding, I can go this direction. You need to repent. If you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you, friend, you don't have a chance on your own of missing hell. That's your future. Unless you repent of violating God's laws, you repent of the sin you live in and the rebellion in your heart, and take Christ as your Savior. He's the only one who can save you. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Good works can't save you. This church can't save you. These preachers can't save you. Jesus is the only one that can save you. He's the only one died in your place. He's the only one that can pay your debt to the law by death. What can remove the castigation of the law, the judgment of the law, from your soul for all eternity? Death in Christ. Salvation by being placed in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sin. That's what you need. If you're here and you're not saved, we give an invitation in a few minutes. You come down and grab my hand and say, I want to be saved. I'll get somebody to pray with you. My Christian friend, if God has spoken a word to your heart, if there is a thought in your heart that's not there, shouldn't be there, get on your knees and repent of it and ask God to forgive you of it and fight it in your mind. That's where the battle begins. It's where the battle will be won or lost. We're going to sing number 250. Let's stand. 249, I'm sorry. 249. This altar is open if God has spoken to you.